This is North Shore Today for Monday, April 24, 2017. Ethan Foreman writes in today's Salem News, Danvers officials want to keep recreational pot shops from opening in town until at least 2019. The temporary halt would give the town time to ponder potential impacts, consider state cannabis control regulations, adopt new zoning provisions, or even restrict them outright, according to an article on the May annual town meeting warrant. The temporary moratorium would give the town time to address the potential impact of the state's recreational marijuana law and the not yet promulgated state regulations on local zoning, public safety, and public welfare, and to undertake a planning process to appropriately address these concerns, according to the article. Town officials also want to use the time to decide whether to prohibit consumption of marijuana in the pot shops. The moratorium effort follows the passage of a ballot question in November that legalized recreational marijuana retail sales and use in the state, a law that went into effect on December 15. Danvers voted no on question 4 last fall, with 8,006 residents opposed to the measure and 7,253 in support. The state has already amended the law, delaying when the State Cannabis Control Commission should issue regulations regarding retail pot sales to May 15, 2018, and when it begins accepting applications for licenses to April 1, 2018. If passed by town meeting, Danvers' temporary moratorium on pot shops would last through December 31, 2018. The moratorium requires a vote of town meeting because it represents a change in the town's zoning. For residents who want to weigh in, the Danvers Planning Board is holding a public hearing Monday, May 1 at 7 p.m. in the Danvers Senior Center, 25 Stone Street. The public hearing will also look at draft language to add the definition of marijuana establishments to town zoning. There is more than just fast when it comes to food at McDonald's on the Linway in Lynn. Bill Newell tells us about the coming changes.
Rick, four it is for McDonald's. In the wake of losing 500 million customers since 2012 to competitors such as Five Guys, Shake Shack, and In-N-Out Burger, McDonald's is changing its ways to attract millennials and to keep the old-timers. Thomas Grillo writes on today's front page of the Daily Item of Lynn that the fast food king on the Linway in Lynn is one of three New England restaurants that has launched major changes like table services. Later this year, they will offer mobile ordering and delivery. Now, when you walk into the Linway McDonald's, you are greeted by a concierge who will take your order and deliver your meal to your table. It does away with the need to approach the counter. Quote, "We used to have a glut of customers standing around the front counter. That's a thing of the past. People still think we have the heat light going, that we make 30 sandwiches and we wait for people to buy them. We stopped that 10 years ago. Table service is not the only change. Coming soon is the ability to do mobile ordering, which allows customers to use the McDonald's app to order ahead, similar to Starbucks. Also on the way is a delivery operation by taxi for a $5 charge. In addition, the drive-thru is changing. If you use your smartphone, McDonald's will recognize it and ask you if you want the same order as a week ago. The millennials talk with their feet, and we need to adapt to the changes, according to Rima. The publicly traded company recently outlined its plans after four consecutive years of declining customer counts in 2016, despite the rollout of an all-day breakfast. McDonald's sees table service, mobile, and delivery as a way to attract and win back customers. Company executives said automating more orders should cut transaction times, reduce errors, and free workers to do things like deliver food to tables or cars in spots designated for mobile orders. There's more on this story in today's edition of the Daily Item of Lynn. For North Shore Today, MSO News Sports, I'm Bill Newell. Rick?
All right, Bill. Very good. Thank you. Dustin Luca writes in today's Salem News, with Salem's sanctuary ordinance nearing final approval by City Council, while opponents press a petition effort seeking to delay or kill it, state legislators are diving into their own discussion on Beacon Hill. Bills were filed in January in the House and Senate that serve to protect the civil rights and safety of all Massachusetts residents, as they're each titled. The Senate bill was filed by Senator James Eldridge. The same day, the House bill was filed by Representative Juana Matias, of Salem. Both bills call themselves the Safe Communities Act, and they're before the Joint Committee on Public Safety and Homeland Security. Both bills would require that no law enforcement agency inquire about a person's immigration status unless such information is required by law or is an element in a crime for which the law enforcement agency is investigating the person. The bills also prohibit officers and employees at the state level or any political subdivision thereof from using funds, resources, facilities, property, equipment, or personnel for immigration enforcement purposes. More on this story in today's Salem News, story written by Dustin Luca. Gayla Colley writes on itemlive.com, in Swampscott, three contested races highlight Tuesday's town election. Polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. at three locations, precincts 1 and 2 at Swampscott Senior Center, 200 Rear Essex Street, precincts 3 and 4 at First Congregational Church, 40 Monument Avenue, and precincts 5 and 6 at Swampscott Middle School, 207 Forest Avenue. Voters will see three contested races on their ballots: school committee, Board of Health, and trustee of the public library. Other uncontested races are for Board of Selectmen, Planning Board, and Moderator. There's an empty slot for Board of Assessors. William Sullivan is a candidate for re-election but did not return nomination papers, so he would have to run a write-in campaign along with anyone else vying for the position. Much more on this story in today's Item Live, story written by Gayla Colley. Ray Lamont writes in the Gloucester Times, Meredith Fine acknowledges some business owners have been looking to get their hands on one of Gloucester's year-round all-alcohol sales licenses for years. Fine, a local attorney who heads the city's licensing board, also recognizes that such a license can be considered an asset worth up to $100,000 when bars, restaurants, or other businesses seek to open, transfer ownership, or move. Now someone is going to get a city license, a city licensing fee for $2,400. The license is the first of the city's year-round seven-day all-alcohol pouring licenses to become openly available in several years. Fine and others said it's being offered after the licensing board declined to renew the license tied to the defunct Espresso's Italian Grill and Pub on East Main Street earlier this year. The license was being sought for a transfer to a potential new owner, but the board shot down the request based on concerns over financing and an out-of-state background check of one of the parties funding the project, according to the minutes. Much more on this story in today's Gloucester Times, story written by Ray Lamont. This is North Shore Today on MSO News Sports.